From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, January 17th, 2017. And on this day, we'll pick apart the war of words involving Paul LePage, Donald Trump, John Lewis, and Shelley Pingree, and why Maine's nursing shortage may be eased somewhat. That's all ahead in a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners and by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Masters of Policy Planning and Management, preparing students to be a force for positive change in their communities.
Governor Paul LePage has once again charged into the issue of race relations. He told a Bangor radio station today civil rights icon Congressman John Lewis should thank Republican presidents for freeing the slaves and fighting Jim Crow laws. The governor's comments amid decades of civil rights history, and they were immediately criticized and condemned by historians and lawmakers and parodied and mocked on social media. Steve Missler has details.
The governor's remarks on WVOM came in response to Lewis's feud with President-elect Donald Trump. Last week, Lewis said he will boycott Trump's inauguration because he doesn't believe he's a legitimate president. Trump then deployed his Twitter account to trash Lewis and his district in Atlanta. He also said Lewis, who was beaten by state police during the Bloody Sunday protest march from Selma in 1965, was all talk, no action. Today, LePage attempted to piggyback on Trump's criticism.
John Lewis ought to look at history. It was Abraham Lincoln that freed the slaves. It was Rutherford B. Hayes and Ulysses S. Grant that fought against Jim Crow laws. A simple thank you would suffice.
But Dan Shea, a professor of government at Colby College, says it's LePage who should study history more closely.
I think it's stunning. I think it's preposterous that the Governor LePage would try to give a history lesson to John Lewis on the oppression of African Americans in the United States.
It's true Abraham Lincoln backed the abolition of slavery, and that Grant oversaw a Reconstruction period that afforded some blacks in the South rights as citizens. But Reconstruction was effectively undone by what Shea calls the corrupt bargain of 1876. The bargain followed a contested election in which Hayes agreed to pull federal troops out of southern states in exchange for the presidency.
It wasn't until after Reconstruction ended, after the bargain, the corrupt bargain of 1876, when the federal troops left, that Jim Crow emerged in the South.
The absence of federal troops led to the proliferation of Jim Crow laws in the South, state and local regulations that enforce racial segregation. These laws persisted until the 1960s. The son of sharecroppers, Lewis grew up in the segregated South and worked to reverse Jim Crow. Lewis could not be reached for comment. However, his spokeswoman issued a statement saying the congressman doesn't need to defend himself against spurious comments. LePage, she said, is just trying to be mean-spirited. State Representative Rachel Talbot Ross, the state director of the NAACP in Maine, said in a statement that the governor was attempting to revise history and that his comments reinforced the need to fight for equal rights and dignity. But despite the backlash, LePage doubled down. During impromptu remarks to the Portland Press-Herald, he told the newspaper that the NAACP should, quote, apologize to the white people, the people from the North, for fighting their battle. The national chapter of the NAACP did not respond to a request for comment. However, it's not the first time LePage has made national headlines for racially charged comments. A year ago, he said black drug dealers were coming to Maine to impregnate white girls. He reiterated those comments in August. The latest controversy comes as 35 Democratic members of Congress have said they will not attend Trump's inauguration. First District Congresswoman Shelley Pingree is among them. She announced her decision during Monday's Martin Luther King Day annual dinner.
And out of respect for so many people who were insulted or belittled during this campaign, who fear what comes next and who'd like to see all of us in Congress roll up our sleeves, get to work, not celebrate, I'll be staying right here in Maine.
Pingree's decision was cheered by the crowd, as were her statements about standing in solidarity with Lewis. But Governor LePage had a different message for her.
Shelley Pingree, if she won't attend on Friday, I would advise her to resign.
That's not happening, Pingree said. She said the governor is free to criticize her, but it's not okay to disparage Lewis.
I'm not surprised the governor would take me on, but again, I think it's very insulting to take on John Lewis. You shouldn't be trying to give him a lesson in civil rights history or anything else.
Pingree's Twitter account later tweeted a photo of Lewis as he was being beaten and arrested by state police in 1965. the Georgia congressman, was arrested over 40 times during the civil rights movement. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
The shortage of nurses in Maine may soon abate somewhat. That's thanks to a new grant to St. Joseph's College. The Harold Alphon Foundation announced today it's awarding a $1.5 million challenge grant to St. Joseph's to expand its nursing program. As Patty White reports, the school could become the pipeline the state needs for one of its fastest-growing industries.
Nurses account for more than 14,000 jobs in Maine and make an average of $31 an hour. It's a good career, says Labor Department Commissioner Jean Paquette, and there's plenty of room for more to join the field.
Between now and 2024, we're going to need to replace 40% of the nursing workforce because they're over the age of 50.
To keep pace with demand, Paquette says, Maine needs to produce at least 500 more nursing graduates per year. A new grant to St. Joseph's College, she says, will help put a dent in that need.
We need a pipeline. And what St. Joseph's is doing is really creating the infrastructure to be able to get that pipeline through.
St. Joseph's is already one of the largest nursing programs in the state. But with its current facilities, says Department of Nursing Chair Dr. Anthony McGuire, it can't grow.
It's restricted both from a physical standpoint and a faculty standpoint. So we don't have enough simulation labs and faculty members to get through large numbers.
Currently, St. Joseph's enrolls about 1,200 students online and on campus in its nursing program. Those numbers could boost by at least 10% with the $1.5 million grant awarded by the Harold Alphon Foundation. Once St. Joseph's raises matching dollars, the college will build four new simulation labs to give students more hands-on clinical training. It will expand scholarships for Maine students, and the school will expand the degrees it offers to include a Doctor of Nursing Practice and an Acute Care Nurse Practitioner program, which McGuire says is an emerging specialty in healthcare.
The need is there. There's no training in Maine currently for these acute care NPs.
The new facilities and the new degrees will also help attract faculty, says McGuire, which is another challenge for nursing. Just as the workforce is aging, so too is the age of nursing faculty in Maine, with 64% over the age of 50. Knowing about the critical need makes student Rachel Waterhouse all the more motivated to finish her nursing degree.
Even if you don't want to work directly with patients, like there's so many different avenues and branches of nursing, so there's so much potential, and really anybody can do it and would love it.
Though Waterhouse will graduate before St. Joseph's new Center for Nursing Excellence opens, she hopes to use it in the future. Not only does Waterhouse want to become a nurse, she wants to return to the college one day to become a clinical instructor. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Volkswagen and its sister companies are shelling out billions of dollars to customers and states that were affected by its attempts to cheat on emissions tests. There are scores of settlements and suits in various stages of process. Maine's in line for a share of one settlement worth a total of $2.7 billion that aims to reduce diesel pollution. The question now is whether Governor Paul LePage will accept the money, and if he does, how it will be spent. Fred Bever has more.
The idea behind the settlement is that the funds will help the states invest in pollution-reducing infrastructure, at least in part to make up for the nitrogen oxides that diesel VWs, Porsches, and Audis spewed into the air at as much as 40 times the legal limit. The funding available to each state is relative to the number of offending vehicles registered there, and with more than 3,600 of them registered in Maine at one time or another, the state could get $21 million. There are strings attached. The money has to be invested in specific technologies that reduce transportation-related pollution. And because of those strings, there is some worry that Governor Paul LePage, no fan of ceding budgetary control to outside authorities, might reject the windfall.
I am afraid of that, yeah. It's as opposed to some money that comes in from settlements, this actually has to go right to the governor's office.
That's why Kittery Representative Dean Rikerson has submitted a bill titled To Ensure Use of Funds for Maine as Beneficiary of the Volkswagen Mitigation Trust Agreement. Rikerson acknowledges that the legislature can't compel the governor to sign on, but he hopes to at least call attention to the issue. The governor's press office did not respond to questions about the VW settlements, but according to Ted Talbot, spokesman for the Department of Transportation, that agency does expect to administer the funds if the governor gives the thumbs up.
We don't have a whole lot of details at the DOT just yet. We've had a couple of meetings about this. The only thing we can confirm is that the DOT will take the lead for this program.
Assuming that LePage does, in fact, draw down the funds, they can then finance various technologies that reduce transportation-related diesel pollution. That could include replacing diesel engines or heating systems in cars, trucks, and buses with more efficient options powered by electricity or by propane gas or by compressed natural gas. That range of allowed options is likely to create some friction. Senator Dave Miramont of Camden is trying to get the jump on that by submitting a bill to direct that all of the funds go to support electric vehicles and the infrastructure needed to provide a comprehensive network of electric charging stations.
I'm afraid that the groups, including the executive office, that want to push for spending tax dollars on private companies to bring more natural gas, which doesn't cut back on emissions, they'll try to grab it for that.
It's easy for a given legislator to say, well, I want it all to go to electric.
That's Tony Buxton, lobbyist for the Industrial Energy Consumers Group, a consortium of big main manufacturers, including paper mills and biomass plants, that rely heavily on diesel trucks to ship product and fuel around the region.
We're not opposed to electric vehicles. We support electric vehicles. But electric vehicles are useful really only in the personal consumer sector and small commercial. We also need to deal with the use of diesel trucks. And the fact of the matter is that diesel trucks have tremendous mileage in Maine. That is, they are used a lot. And we need to address that as well.
One influential environmental group, the Conservation Law Foundation, is backing the all-electric option. A CLF lawyer points out that even Governor LePage might be brought on board. Emily Green notes that 15% of the allotment could be dedicated specifically to charging stations, and LePage is already working with the Premier of Quebec to expand the number of stations on a corridor that runs across the border as a way to promote tourism. A trustee for the national fund that will provide the money, meanwhile, has yet to be appointed. Once that happens, LePage will have 60 days to decide whether to use the funds and appoint a state agency to administer them. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
And that's This Day in Maine for Tuesday, January 17th, 2017. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.